Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show. This goes out to those on the Eastern Coast and Central Time.
Thank you.
All right. Hello, hello. Here we are, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne. New Year's Eve my time, but it is New Year's for those on the Eastern and Central time zone. So I am in the Matrix. I am having a Matrix Lucid Libertarian show where we are defining the laws of time and having a live show when for some people it's 2024 and for those like me, it is still 2023. So we are in a lapse of time zones, and maybe that's why I had so many issues getting the show started, because I originally had it scheduled for 9 p.m. Pacific, and then 9:30 p.m. Pacific, and then 10 p.m. Pacific, and I had to keep trying to get into my show, even though there's hardly any other live shows on right now. Blog Talk didn't want to let me in. And as I said in the chat room, I had to bring out my Viking bitch trying to get this show going. Viking bitch me. Norwegian blood, baby. We beat the BTR censors or whatever magical fucking trick that they want to play on us to get our shows to start. But I have now done the impossible, seemingly impossible, I should say, and gotten two shows up and running tonight. Eventually, I had my struggles. I had to persevere, and there was a point I wanted to give up. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Like a half hour ago, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Just call it a night. But troll and go, no, I don't want the system to beat me, especially on New Year's Eve for me right now. And now New Year's Day for those Eastern and Central time. And I might play a clip since I'm lucky. You never know. We might not just be like babbling on all night long. Because I had a lot of stuff like, you know, planned to play tonight. I uploaded clips. I uploaded all kinds of shit. And before I do that, though, I have to acknowledge those that are in the switchboard and in the chat room that have stuck it out with me while I battled this. They've been hanging on. They've been in my corner, even though this show is delayed an hour from its original start time, which was supposed to be midnight Eastern, so I could wish happy fucking New Year to the East Coast people, but Blog Talk robbed me of that. And then I had to try again at 9:30 my time, 12:30 Eastern, and no go. And then I changed it to 10 and Pacific, and now it's like late for you all on the East Coast. But I got it up and running. Viking bitch won. So Boyd, I'm bringing you back on in. Mike, bringing you back on in. I got a Skype, and Robert and Daniel and or Kathy sitting back just listening. Raise your hand when you want to. Or actually, Skype members just raised their hand. I have a feeling it might be John Doe. Find out. I am bringing you on.
Ma'am.
Is this John Doe?
Yes, you got it. Right on the money, honey.
Right on, sweetie Petey. I don't know. I got a buzz on. I'll call you sweetie Petey. But yeah, Robert's raising his hand. Hey Robert, I just brought you on.
Happy New Year.
Before Blog Talk cut us off, I saw you raising your hand, and I tried to bring you on, and it just spun and spun and spun and spun problems. So right when I was bringing you on, that's when Blog Talk decided to hang up on all of us and thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. And yeah. So now
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. You're central. Are you central time there in New Mexico? Or?
No. Most of New Mexico is mountain time, which where I'm at, but the eastern side gets a little bit of mountain central.
Yeah, your kind of time zone thingy kind of gets weird, you know, in between states. I don't get that. You know, I don't get that. Like, why do they have these weird-ass fucking borders for the time zone? Because it's not straight, like, longitude, latitude. You know, they, you know, if you look at the time zone maps, they get scattered all about. And so why, you know, for a state to split it up is kind of weird.
You'll have to ask the railroads about that.
Yep.
The railroad set it up. You still there,
That's
Laura?
That's what I heard.
Yep, I'm here. So the railroads govern that. That's interesting.
The railroads set up the time zones.
We don't want our train to have to cross into too many different time zones. It's too inconvenient,
they,
so let's make the whole fucking country abide by it, right? Like, I don't know. I'm just joking.
No, they did it because too many trains were going bump in the night for their scheduling.
Yeah, I guess.
That's why.
That makes sense.
That's why the what. That's why the railroad pocket watches and stuff were so valuable and still are, because they are very accurate timepieces.
I believe it. My dog is barking outside, so I'm a little distracted, but... You know, Oregon, like 4 years ago, voted to stay on daylight savings time and not, you know, change. But we haven't been able to implement it, you know. And I want that. Like, I like having daylight later in the day, you know. And I think that's beneficial because, you know, kids walking home from school and everything, there's still fucking daylight out in the middle of winter, but yet we've never been able to implement it. It's like this whole daylight savings thing, like we just need to make a decision, like, are we going to be on it or off it? What? You know, let's all just stick with it and not have, like, Arizona that doesn't abide by it, you know, and everybody's got to kind of try to do the fucking math depending on what state it is, the person that you're dealing with.
Yep.
It's just so complicated. Like, let's just stick to one thing, either abandon it or stick with it one way or another. Let's just all universally agree on the fucking time zones. Let's have it make sense.
Well, the zones, as far as they're placed out there right now, they're okay, because that has to do with the rotation of the Earth and when the sun comes up and goes down according
well,
to
no,
the clock.
Not when it deviates like 50 to 100 miles, depending on where you go. It doesn't follow the actual longitude. It deviates hundreds of miles each way, and that's what makes it so weird in between states.
Well,
you know, it's weird.
It deviates to try and keep states you know, in borders, you know, of states and keep the whole state in the same time zone. When I first got up here to Alaska.
Not necessarily.
Okay, when I first got up here to Alaska, we had 5 time zones in the state.
Yep.
And you don't think that wasn't a pain to work through?
That's crazy.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I know Alaska's big, but, I mean, the entire United States crosses 4 major time zones. Alaska, for the one state, even as big as it is, to go 5 different time zones, that's pretty nutty. Like I said, like, we need to make it a standard, you know, and have it make fucking sense. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
because
we had 5 different time zones, and the legislature, they all got together and decided to make us all one time zone, except for the farthest point out on the Aleutian chain, because they were too far out. We couldn't, you know, couldn't really count that. In fact,
if you look at the international dateline, you know, there is a very small little margin between the U.S. Alaskan islands and the Russian, and that's where the international time zone goes. So it's like literally like,
well,
it's one day ahead,
that,
50 miles, you know, to the west of you.
No, it's not. It's one day ahead, 3.5 miles apart.
Only 3.5. Boy, I overestimated that. I thought it was further. I stand corrected.
No, it may be even less than 3.5. It may be 2. It ain't very much, but
isn't that weird to think
international
about?
Less than five miles away
is the next day.
The international dateline takes a big jog around the Aleutian chain so that we're all in the same day. It was bad enough being in 5 different time zones, but it takes a big jog around the end of the Aleutian Islands, and then upon that, and with that happening, it gives Alaska claims to being the most northern point of the United States, along with the farthest east point in the United States and the farthest west point of the United States. We have all 3 of those. Those all belong to Alaska. Thanks to the 180th parallel.
Isn't that crazy to think about? That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
That's how far Alaska stretches, you know. I'm always curious, like, I don't know the history of that. Like, how did they define these borders? Like, when you look at, you know, what's Russia, the Russia Islands and Alaskan Islands, because, like, Alaska has a shit ton of islands. I don't think people really realize that. But they're in Russia. And up north, you know, there's not as much space between them, is what I'm saying. And so it's like you realize how close they are. And it's like, wow, like, you know, who decided, like, this island is mine, you know, this little fucking piece of the island is mine, and this little fucker island is Russia. You know what I mean? Like,
and they did
how did
that.
Those negotiations
take
place?
They did it. they did it all back in, what was it, 1867. The Tsar sold us Alaska, and we bought Alaska.
Yeah, and you know that Canada wanted that, you know. Is it so far north?
But,
you know, it's like this, like, chunk that's, like, completely, you know, not attached to the United States, except for the southern islands of Alaska that go into, you know, where Washington is. Like, people don't realize how far that stretches. Like, Alaskan islands, like, literally go through the Canadian border, you know, and then there's the Canadian islands and shit.
No,
and
they
then there's
don't.
Like,
no.
You know,
no,
like, it's,
no.
Like, it's so crazy how the border, how all that works.
We do not go down past Ketchikan from Fort Hyder. There's quite a few hundred miles between the southern end of Alaska and touch Seattle or northern Washington State.
Oh, I'm not talking about Seattle. Yeah, I'm talking about, like, the northern, like, islands that are, like, way north, you know? And you know there was a battle on that. Goes in between islands and territories and stuff. There's got to be a history in that. Because all those islands go out and, yeah. If you look at, you know, even what's documented on Google Maps, it's crazy. You know, you would think that Canada would have wanted Alaska in its entirety.
Well, Alaska did, or Canada didn't want to buy it. So, or they didn't get in on the bidding process. I don't know. Alaska was put up for sale by the Russians. And we bought it.
Well, thank God we did.
Because the natural resources and oil
and shit in Alaska is pretty valuable. Alaska, I mean, and not to totally divert from subject, but, you know, Alaska is prime territory, you know. There is a battle in Alaska going on between Companet for all its resources for oil and the environmental impacts of doing so. And a lot of Alaskans don't want huge, big cities, you know. You start pumping more oil and you start having more factories and shit, that brings more people to Alaska, more and more and more. And it kind of sounds to me, my impression is that Native Alaskans don't want that population boom. Does that make sense? The more we dig for oil
and build refineries
and shit like that, the more of a population gets there, and the more, like, Alaska will become like Texas, where Texas right now has at least 20 House seats. There are no Republicans, no conservatives, no libertarians, nobody on the ballot to defeat them. You know, and Alaska could easily become the next Texas if that's allowed to happen. You know, it's like, people in fucking Texas, step up, man. You know, you got all these Democrat fucking people in the House that are going uncontested in their seats. You know, how is this possible in fucking Texas? You know, and Alaska is,
Lori.
I'm sorry, you know, I don't want to offend Texans, but Alaskans are a shitload more rugged than even Texans are. And the last thing you want as somebody in Alaska is to have the Californication of Alaska, and that's exactly what will happen.
Well, Lori, let me explain a couple things to you, okay?
Go for
First off, you are 100% correct in all the bullshit that you were listening to, because all of that bullshit that you're listening to about the war supposedly here in Alaska does not originate here in Alaska. There is no war over this. This is all coming from your neck of the woods. It's all of your environmental tiptoe through the tulip fuckers. Not here. Not here. They haven't got a fucking clue of what Alaskans want. And as far as California and stuff, we are already calling ourselves here Lost Anchorage because of those fuckers. Okay?
Who are you referring to, Boyd?
What?
You said because of those effers. Who are those effers you're referring to?
From Lost Anchorage? From all the California fuckers who think they know everything they need to know about up here. And God bless them, they go out in the woods and they die.
So,
because they are
this,
so environmentally friendly. They know all there is to know about the Arctic.
This makes me wonder, Boyd. Russia had sold it, you know, to America. But they took back Crimea and they're taking back Ukraine. You think they might want it back?
Alaska? Oh,
yeah.
I think they would like to get it back, but they could... They could not afford to buy it, and it would cost them dearly in blood to take it back.
Yeah, well, they don't seem to scare them. They took Crimea, no big deal, and they're taking Ukraine. They might decide to take Alaska after we get all of our military beat up from Biden.
Well, you know, supposedly... There are no nukes here in Alaska, no nuclear weapons. But, you know, we got missile bases down there in Montana that can put a missile on target up here in a matter of minutes. Plus, we do have nukes up here, even though they say we don't. The nuclear protocol is up here. It depends on what branch of service is stationed where and assigned where. And that's a good indication of whether or not you got nukes or not.
Don't we have some nuclear submarines off the coast too, though, in your neck of the woods?
Hell if I know. They're not supposed to let us know all that shit, but I assume that they are there, and they're not too far from fucking Russia, you know?
That's why I think they're there. I don't know for certain, but I didn't know.
Well, yeah, they're here. No, they're based out of... Washington or wherever, you know, they want to base them. I don't know how the submarine service is set up for their patrolling area and everything, but, you know, they're here. You just don't know it, which is exactly the way it's supposed to be. You know? If we knew where our, if we, the general population, knew where our nuclear subs were, then the Russians would know where our nuclear subs were. And we don't want them to know where our nuclear subs are. Well, that's part of the game.
Hey, Lorianne. Boyd, you might know. Do you know the Alaskan Patriot Network?
Patriot Network?
Alaskan
no,
Patriot
I haven't heard
Network.
No.
Lorianne.
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, because Lorianne had a host. I can't recall her name, though. It was before Val. And she had her own show called the Alaskan Patriot Network. But I haven't seen it or heard it.
That would be Dahl Arnson, Alaskan Patriot Network. Yeah, Dahl Arnson. I love Dahl.
Not in a weird way,
but I love her as a person and friend and awesome co-host, and she hosted her show. Yeah. Miss her. And last message I got from her, by the way, from Dahl, was that things are starting to settle down, and 2024, she might revive her show. She's been continuing to pay for her membership on Blog Talk.
Did she ever get her
so
new
I
house
think
built?
That, they celebrated their first Christmas and New Year's.
So did they
and,
just leave the old
house
for all the seals? Did they
you
just
know,
leave the old house for
no,
all
the
seals?
No, the old house they sold. The old house was a big house. It was kind of like a B&B. A big house, and they sold it to a women's shelter organization because it has like, I think that house had like 8 bedrooms or some shit. So it's a pretty big house. And
yeah,
so
but didn't
they
you
sold
say
it,
the seat?
Dahl
oh,
sold
my
it
bad.
To a women's shelter outfit. That was the main house, but now and the new house. That was rebuilt. It is, like I said, they're living there now and had their first Christmas. The house has become a home. So I think things are starting to settle down a little bit for her, and she might be coming back. Hopefully, crossing my fingers, she'll come back in 2024, continue Alaskan Patriot Network. Boyd, I'm sure you'd be interested in hearing from her. Dahl is awesome. You know, she still has her shows on archive, if you look on Alaskan Patriot Network. But she's in Kaufman Cove on Prince of Wales Island. And this is a woman that, like, she's a little chick, too. Like, she's not even, like, you know, fucking Viking blood like I am. Like, you know, she's kind of little, and she, like, she teaches elderly people how to, like, you know, gut and process the deer that they just, you know, shot. You know, she, she does everything. You know, she's like, you know, she will chop wood. She can hunt. She can, you know, gut the prey, whatever it is, if it's, you know, deer or elk or whatever the hell it is she caught, or fish. And she does it all. She just does it all. Dahl Larson is like, there is absolutely nothing I can say negatively about Dahl Larson. She is a fucking gem. So I hope she brings her show back, and I will gladly co-host with her again help bring listenership to her show. I'm sure, Boyd, like, you and Dahl could probably just, like, have a whole fucking show just talking between the two of you. That's the kind of chick she is.
Yeah.
I'll shut up.
What the hell was that?
So how did they get rid of all the sea lions that took over the house?
It was otters. But, yeah, they had to get rid of them, and that's what caused the whole thing, because they were so integrated into, like, the foundation and everything, like the smell. That's why the house needed to be rebuilt from the foundation up.
They sold that, but they had just went ahead and tore it down and rebuilt it from the ground up?
Exactly.
Wow.
It was totaled. It's like totaling your car on the fucking freeway, you know? It's not salvageable. They tore it up from the ground up. They completely, from the foundation up, rebuilt it. Like, that's how integrated those otters became, because, like the otters, like, all the decaying shit in the crawl space, pee and poop and afterbirth of having little baby otters and stuff like that in the house. Like, it's just like it was impermeable. The only thing to do is completely rebuild it. It was two years this woman has been trying to deal with this on a remote island. Imagine trying to get all these building materials, Boyd, to Prince of Wales Island, Hoffman Cove, getting all these building materials and work crews together. I mean, it's been a two-year-long, like, massive part of stress in her life.
Undertaking.
Yeah. I'm sure you can imagine. It is not easy to get all those materials up there on those remote, on those islands in Alaska. You know? Wood, cable, everything. Cement, you know.
Put it on the ferry or
yeah,
in the barge.
Yeah, good weather. And from what I understand, the main, like, import on the island to get her stuff, it usually takes her about 2 hours to drive there. So she has to get a crew to haul all that crap, 2 hours to the place where her house is. You can imagine it is not it's been a very long, prolonged process for her to get this done over the last couple of years. So that's why she had to give up her show. It was about a year and a half ago, a little over a year ago, I think. And she was like, I just can't keep doing my show. I can't keep doing this. It's just too busy. There's too much going on. And then selling the other house. And she actually sold it for a little bit of a loss. Because, of course, there were tons of other buyers, but she sold it to an organization that helps, women, it's a woman's shelter that she sold the house to, a nonprofit. And she had a lot of other higher bids, but she thought that was the right thing to do, so she did it. And, like, that's the kind of woman Dell is, so I'm hoping that she comes back. She's my sister in Radio Land. Been there with me from the start of my show when I was first co-hosting. We have a history. So, yeah, she's my sister in Radio Land.
Just knowing that Boyd's from Alaska and then listening to him talk over the last number of weeks that I've got to listen to him, it just popped in my head all of a sudden, and I was like, hey, blogtalkradio.com/Alaskan Patriot Network. But you'll probably get a kick out of it when you get to meet her, Boyd.
Yeah, if I ever do. She's almost a day and a half worth of travel away from me.
Well, I was thinking if she brings her show back, because you can, make a bookmark or favorite in your browser for blogtalkradio.com/ Alaskan Patriot Network, and that's her page for now. She's just not doing shows right now, based on what Lori Ann was just sharing.
She's been continuing to pay for it so that, you know, all of her archives stay intact. You know what I mean? So it's a strong indication she plans to come back. She's been paying for it all this time, even though she hasn't been doing her shows. But if you go to a free account, then a lot of your past shows will kind of go into vapor space. You know what I mean? And so she's been paying for her show just to keep her past shows, you know, alive and kicking. So you can you can go to Alaskan Patriot Network right now on Blog Talk and favorite it and listen to previous shows. And I was her co-host for a lot of that time. She was my partner when I left Freedomizer. Then it wasn't long later until she left because, well, we won't get into all the reasons for that. But let's just say that she left because I left because she agreed with my reasons and she had my back. And so, you know, that's another reason why I have such respect for her. She's been a loyal friend.
Lori Ann, have you thought of reaching out to her and helping her back up her shows so that way she doesn't lose them if it has to go into that freebie space for now?
Well, we did have a text message exchange in chat, and that's pretty much what I said to her, you know, because I had, you know, commented on one of her posts and stuff, and she knows. She knows. I have her back. You know, I told her, I'm like, when you're ready, you know, I'm there. I'll co-host with her again. She with me. We can, you know, pick things right back up again anytime she's ready.
The way Blog Talk's been acting up here lately, though, man, I would hate for her to lose them, even if she's trying to keep everything going, you know. Just, I would want to back them up myself all the time, even if I had an active show all the time anyway, just to make sure if they had server problems or whatnot, I'd still have my own copies, and that way I wouldn't lose anything.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I download all my shows and save them. I save the audio. You know, every month I go through and just download and save, you know, all of that so that I have it local. But, you know, like I said, the fact that Doll has been paying for her membership, like she hasn't been doing shows, but she's continued to pay for it, keep her channel alive, that's a pretty big signal that at some point, you know, she does intend to come back. She wouldn't be paying for it all this time if she wasn't intending on coming back.
Hey, what was the video that she did here a while back? The only one I've ever seen, and she's talking about the trains and stuff. You remember that?
Yeah, that's when, a friend of hers invited her to come to stay with them because they lived in that area. And it wasn't a derailment, but, well, kind of later it was. But in California, so Doll goes there, and it's just like track after track after track of this huge, long train in a very rural area. And it's like, what is this? You know, and it wasn't clearly identified what it is or anything like that. It was very, so she recorded a video, and then that got on the news. Because they were like, what is this? You know, they're not marked. What are they transporting? You know, and she's taking this video and these pictures and shit. And so, she because she was asking, like, what is this? Like, there's this big, long freaking train that's been sitting here for a couple of days that locals have been talking about. Like, what is this doing here, you know? What is this train? Why is it just sitting here for two fucking days? And, yeah, it was pretty crazy. But this was, you know, this was right around the time, I think, that there were other trail, you know. Do you remember, like, 2022? It was, like, train derailment after train derailment after train derailment after train derailment. Like, you know, long before East Palestine, like, you know, there was this, there was a suspiciously high number of train derailments in 2022.
Yes.
Really Graceful did a video on it. If you look on YouTube, Really
all,
Graceful.
And they were, and they, and they,
yeah,
were all Warren. They were, and all those train derailments were Warren Buffett's.
Yeah, yeah. Like, all these coincidences happened, and yeah, like, Really Graceful. Which, by the way, Really Graceful, I usually play your clips on my show when she comes out with something new, but she hasn't come out with something new. Why? Because she was pregnant, and then I think it was about a little over a week ago, or maybe this week, she posted that she miscarried. Her baby was 17 weeks, and so, you know, could not survive, and she miscarried, and she's not vaccinated, by the way. She's not, she's against that, but, so that's why she hasn't put anything really all that new. I knew she was pregnant, you know, she was posting about it, she was happy about it, she was excited about it, you know, and, you know, she's like, I'm just not doing videos because, you know, I'm too busy, you know, puking and dealing with the negative effects of pregnant kind of a thing. But it's really sad news. It's like, I was really depressed for her because it's like, I really like Really Graceful. And I think she's from Mississippi. I could be wrong. But she always says she's in the Bible Belt, right? And she was really looking forward to this pregnancy. She's like, yeah, I'm going to be taking time off. I got to take care of this. You know, I'm pregnant. I'm looking forward to it, blah, blah, blah. And she lost the baby. So she's had a hard time with that. So I don't expect that she's going to come out with anything new anytime soon. That's a hard blow. 17 weeks in. Oh. You know? Oh. 17 weeks.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. It's sad.
I mean, just imagine, like, you know, I know, men, it's kind of hard to understand, but it's just like, can you imagine 17 weeks? And, like, by 17 weeks, you're clearly showing, you know, you can feel the fact that there's a life growing inside of you. If you can at least at all imagine that, you know, and there's already like a everything bond going on, and you're looking forward to it, and then you lose it. 17 weeks in, that's harsh. Really harsh.
Yeah, us guys can only imagine, but, I mean, if you're really crazy in love with the woman and now she's bearing your child, you're going to have some bonding and some serious emotional concerns yourself, I would think. But you're right. You ain't no, you, unless you're the actual woman, you don't understand fully.
But, you know, it doesn't dismiss fathers either, though. You know, yes, like, you know, a woman's perspective, she's the one that was actually pregnant and lost it. You know, it's a, that's a unique experience that men will never have. You know, sorry, you know, if I offended anybody that, you know, gender identifying sensitive.
You mean the men can get pregnant? You mean the men could get pregnant type? Yeah.
I guess there's so many fucking problems with that. But I'm just saying, like, it's a really sad experience, and, you know, it's fundamentally something that enough women acknowledge what men feel. You know, men don't have the baby growing inside them and stuff, you know, yet. But that doesn't invalidate their feelings. You know, like, you know, the woman you love says, you know, I'm pregnant with your baby and I want to have it. There is not a bigger fucking compliment ever for a man. For a woman to say, I'm pregnant with your baby and I want to have it. Like, I consider you a worthy man. I want to have the baby. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys, like, cringe from that, but they got to kind of consider what a compliment that is at the same time. You know, especially when it's the woman that they've chosen and they, you know, have thought about marriage with. And it's like, hey, I'm pregnant. I'm having, you know, with your kid, and I'm happy about it, you know. And men, you know, when they know that the woman that they love is carrying their baby inside her tummy, you know, and it's miscarried, it's lost due to whatever reason, it happens more often than not. Statistically, only 8 to 9 pregnancies are actually 8 to 9 pregnancies result in miscarriage. It's only 1 to 2% of pregnancies that actually go to full term. It's a statistically fucking phenomenal thing. It's more prone for there to be problems between the sperm, you know, and fertilizing and implantation. And there's all, like, the statistically, you know, a huge list of things that can go fucking wrong and do. And then to actually have it implant successfully and, you know, bond with the woman's body and the umbilical cord and placenta and everything and develop is statistically really fucking rare, and people don't realize that. It's very special. And men feel it too. I know I'm going off on a fucking rant because, you know, I've had a few drinks, but I'm speaking for men in this that, you know, I know that I've heard from men that have been like, you know, my girlfriend decided to abort the kid, and I actually wanted it, you know. I would have supported it. I would have been there. I actually wanted to be a fucking dad, you know. And she took that choice away from, like, you know, women not giving their men a voice in it is completely wrong, you know. I'm just saying, like, a man's opinion on it isn't invalid. And I think that's the sick and fucking perverted thing that's going on in society where men don't have a voice in it. Man, you have a penis. You're not allowed to have a say in my decision to have an abortion. You know, and it's just like, no, I don't want to dictate whether or not you do, but I do want to say, you know, I do want to fucking say, you know, whether or not I actually want that. And if I want it and I'm willing to support it and I'm willing to even adopt it, if you don't fucking want it, have the fucking kid, I will adopt it. I will pay for all of the expenses, everything. You know, and then after it's born, you don't have to have anything to do with it if you don't want, you know. And if that's not good enough, like, come on now, you know. Why should a kid's life be put at stake due to that kind of, that kind of bullshit?
I was just thinking, I was just thinking, I'm surprised that Montana Joe hadn't called in. This is his kind of stuff.
Oh,
well,
I know.
He likes these relationship type shows.
I texted him when I got
the
second show started. Like, call in. Yeah, this is exactly the kind of Montana Joe conversation we would have. Because even he wouldn't even be able to argue with me about, like, men's rights in this situation. Like, you at least got to have a say, you know? I mean, yeah, there's asshole motherfuckers that'll, you know, pressure a woman to have an abortion because they don't want it. But then there's other guys that are like, you know what, I actually love you. You know, and I think you're a good mom, even if we're together or not. A lot of times that's the case. And, you know, I'm the type of woman that, you know, unless you're a seriously fucked up man, like abusive and shit like that, like to the point where, like, I have restraining orders on you and shit like that because you're so fucking dangerous. Like, it's only an extreme case where I would not want the father of my kid to be involved in my kid's life, no matter what happened with my relationship, right? That's the important thing. You know, both parents fucking raising the kids. However you need to work it out is however you need to work it out. That's fucking reality, right? You know, I grew up in that age where divorce was just starting to become way more common. And it's like my dad had zero rights for anything. And the more I talk with my dad, the more I'm like, despite my, you know, the issues that my mom and my sister have with him. It's like, well, if he wasn't so barred from being involved in my life, you know, he might have contributed more. And there was a time when, you know, I was allowed to visit him. And, you know, he tried to teach me some stuff in the short amount of time that he had with me. And I kind of think that I was robbed of, like, having my own relationship with my dad. You know what I mean?
I can relate, or I think I understand.
I was robbed of it. I was robbed of having my own relationship with my dad, having it develop, and me deciding for myself whether he's somebody that I want to have in my life or not. Yeah, that was robbed of me. That choice was made for me long before, and it wasn't until I was later in life that I realized, like, what the fuck? My perception of my dad has been completely dictated by my mom and my sister. And he's been shut out of my life. And now we have the most better relationship. I actually talk on the phone with my dad more often than I talk on the phone to my mom.
Oh, cool. They're both still
like,
alive.
My dad decides the fucking voice, too. Like, there's another side of the story here. My dad's always been made out to be the villain. And it's like, well, what's really factual here? You know? And my dad has been, you know, yeah, he's my dad. I get it. You know, he and I clash in opinion. We're both Aries, you know, I guess. I take after him and our fiery, you know, like, opinions. You know, sometimes we'll get, like, really bullheaded. I realize I get my bullheadedness from my dad.
You both are strong self-will.
Oh, very much so. And then he gets it from my Grandpa Kellett, which is very much so. Grandpa Fred Mitchell Kellett is Brainerd, a basketball coach that won Minnesota Hall of Fame after bringing Brainerd into the, you know, winning the championship at the time. He's a, like, favored coach, my grandfather on my dad's side.
And he was also a good woodworksman. He and my dad helped build a lot of the houses that are around Gull Lake, at least that haven't been torn down and rebuilt into, you know, modern toothpick houses. But anyway, my grandfather was a high school coach and helped build a lot of the houses, construction. He was in the Navy during World War II, stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, that's my background on my dad's side. And it's like, it's kind of like, I sometimes feel like my dad's side of the family has been shut out from me. You know, there's a lot to be fucking proud of on my dad's side of the family. And my dad has always been made to be this villain. And now here we are, you know, he's fucking 78 years old and we talk to each other. I usually call him, you know, if not every week, every other week. You know, I usually don't let 2 weeks go by without talking to him. Checking in with him and him with me and stuff like that.
Hey, that's cool.
And he's had his own stories. I've asked him, like, tell me stories. You know, sometimes
he
starts telling me a story and he's like, you know, you probably don't want to hear this. I'll bore you. I'm like, no, Dad, go on. Tell me the story, you know.
Especially if it has to do with...
20 years from now, you know, I'll be glad that I let you tell your story. Yeah.
And he can share with you about Grandpa and Grandma and other, you know, uncles and aunts that you may not have that close a relationship to because you weren't close with your dad for so long. And Tuesday and Wednesday, that's going to be when we see
the rain snow right up on the coast. Exactly. My dad and I started getting closer with my Aunt Carolyn. My Aunt Carolyn died almost 3 years ago or so. And my Aunt Carolyn and my dad were both the two black sheep of the family, you know? and I got along really well with my Aunt Carolyn and visited her for Thanksgiving. And my Aunt Carolyn and I got pretty close. So it's like the three of us. And my Aunt Carolyn died. My dad was all, like, involved with that because he was power of attorney and stuff. So there's all that. And ever since then, it's like Aunt Carolyn was the one where it's like he talked with her and I talked with her, and she was the one that passed along the information. And then when she died, it's like, okay, Dad, well, you and I are going to have to talk with each other and check in because we don't have Aunt Carolyn now to be the go-between. I mean, I laugh at it, but it's kind of like, you know, that's just what happened. It's like Aunt Carolyn was the go-between. Like, my dad and I didn't really talk to each other all that much because Aunt Carolyn, you know, we both talked to all the time, and she would pass along the information. And then when she died, it's like, well, Dad, we don't have a go-between anymore. We're going to have to talk directly.
Hey, you're still recording. This show is still being recorded, right?
Yes, it is for another. It looks like 51 minutes.
Well,
I
just didn't know if you didn't realize you were still recording, or if you wanted to keep talking about some personal stuff and making it public.
I don't mind. You know, it's nothing. It's one of those things where, you know, maybe that is something to talk about, you know.
Well, in
you know,
my
we all have our relationships with our parents, and some of us have, you know, almost flawless
relationships,
but that I think is a rarity. But I think, you know, it's all a positive thing. It's like I have a relationship with my father, that I didn't have growing up. You know, it was, you know, you got to go like, you know, flashback in time to the mid-70s. You know what I mean? My sister was older than me. And I think she got the worst of it, actually. Because I was still young. I'm like, you know, I was, you know, 3-4 years old. You know, I wasn't, I was pretty young during the divorce, so I don't remember a lot of it, you know. What the fuck do I know? I barely remember, you know. But my sister was a different story because she's like, you know, almost 60 years older than me. Kind of, you know, I guess that's the punishment of being intelligent is when you actually start questioning all this shit. Like, everything that you were told was true, you know. When you start getting into you know, these things in your past, and the dynamics of family that even persist now, you know what I mean? Like, you start, like, whenever you're, like, anybody, I think, can relate to this. You know, you go to Thanksgiving, or you go to Christmas, or you go to a fucking wedding, or whatever the hell it is, that you need to be surrounded by your family, and you're, like, reminded of, like, all the fucking psychoses that are going on in your whole family. You know what I mean? Like, everywhere you look, like your cousins and your aunts and your uncles and your everybody, and you're just like, every one of you have all these fucking dramas going on, like, overwhelming. Do you ever feel like that? Like, I felt like that. I'm, like, looking around the room going, oh, my God, like, I'm bombarded with, you know, this, like, feeling of drama going on, you know?
I think every family's like that. In my humble opinion, all the families that I've been close with, you know, we all have our sides of the issues, but I try to keep it between the, directly with the people that are involved. Otherwise, the stories get convoluted and twisted and taken out of context and creates more problems.
Yep.
214.
That's why I love living here in Alaska.
I apologize for the delay of unmuting you. I was in, so I brought 214 on.
It's Gunslinger.
Gunslinger. It's got to be the slinger.
The slinger.
Sorry, Gunslinger. I had to scroll down because, like, I don't know if you know on Blog Talk, like, once there's, like, 5 or 6 people on, like, the whole thing expands. And then, so if you call in and then, like, you later raise your hand, you know, I literally have to be, like, going to my studio and refresh and scroll down to see you. That was the delay. I refreshed. And then I saw you way at the bottom on when I scrolled down and unmuted you. So it was not on purpose to delay bringing you on. I'm just saying.
Happy belated New Year, Gunslinger.
Yeah, yeah, you too. Yep. Welcome to the New Year. Spread the love, Dr. Lovelead. There you go.
And there you go. Yeah, it is. What is it? 11:14 my time.
Doctor Love to spread the lead.
And then
yeah,
Boyd is going to be the last because Boyd, you're an hour behind me, right?
Yeah, I'm always the last.
Yeah, you're going to be an hour behind me. So when it 40 or so
yep.
minutes from now, it'll be New Year for me, but you're an hour.
I'll still be
even
in 2020. I'll still be in 2023.
Yeah. this is the only time that time travel is possible. Because you can tell me a new story that's happening right now in 2024 your time, but it's only 11:15 my time. You can literally be time traveling. You're telling us a story that's happened in the future.
Hey, is Robert Conservative Nation Media on?
He seems to be here. Well, let me see.
He's in the chat.
Yeah, he's here.
He has not called in.
No, well, you're talking about, you know, these multiple time zones.
Okay.
I figured he knew, he was aware of the, have you ever been to the Four Corners where you can stand and be in four states at the same time?
What is that? What is that interference going on?
That's
is that you, Floyd?
Something going on at his place.
Oh, it's Gunslingers. But have you ever been to the Four Corners where you can stand in and be in four states at the same time?
That movie that had the standoff between them? It was a comedy movie. What the fuck is that movie? They're all standing off in the Four Corners, New Mexico,
is that
Arizona.
Is it Star Troopers?
Fuck.
Oh. Or, I don't know.
Trying to think of it.
I can't think of it.
There's a movie that literally, like, they're all, like, sheriff deputies, like, that, you know, guard the state borders, you know, and they're all, like, laying on their fucking bellies, like, you don't move, like, nobody can cross this because they're all, like, defending their little, you know, corner.
I think it's Star Troopers, but I could be wrong. That's just what keeps popping in my head.
Well, somebody has some background going on.
Ask me. I turned up my weather for tomorrow.
Turned up your what? It sounds like you're eating while you're talking. You turned up your what?
The weather. The weather forecast.
Is it snowy there a lot?
In Alaska?
Well,
no, it's balmy.
I've got about 3 feet on the ground right now.
Boyd's growing pineapples.
I've never been to Alaska. I've been to a lot of places, but I've never been to Alaska, and I don't just believe everything I hear on TV.
But let me just say this, okay? When it's winter up here, it's winter. It ain't no schizophrenic bullshit like you guys get down in the lower 48. It's absolutely positively, without a doubt or question, winter time. And our winter usually starts about a month and a half before December 21st.
So
and it doesn't go away
huh?
until let's see, June is the longest day. When is spring solstice? I can't remember.
Isn't it about March the 20th, something around in there?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, and winter don't leave here until usually about a month after spring solstice shows up.
Go ahead.
Spring is about the ugliest time of year up here.
Oh, man. Why? What makes it so ugly?
Mud, snow, dirt, litter, bullshit, you know, all that's been hidden by the snow.
A lot of the vegetation probably died under the snow, huh?
Well, it's gone dormant. Plus, you know, our term for spring is breakup, because everything breaks up, you know. especially the roads.
So is that true that all the Alaska folks get a royalty check from the oil drilled in their state?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a dividend.
To be resident and have some level of months of vesting before you get something?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get one last year, and I won't get one this year because I haven't been in the state for 6 months. You know, you have to be a resident for a year, and there's no issue about traveling outside and being gone, but you can't be gone more than 6 months at a whack.
Now, because of where Alaska is, do you end up having to take a boat, or do you always have main access, you know, by land?
Well, we got one road we can drive out on. It's the Alcan. Got to go through Canada.
Is it more like a bridge, or does it actually stay on land?
Oh, it stays on land.
I remember back, I guess it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, the Congress was arguing on that bridge or highway to Alaska. We weren't going to fund it. Do you remember all that?
Oh, that was for a couple bridges that they wanted to build it here in the state.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that much about it, but I was like, I thought, well, maybe they're on an island and they just have to have a bridge to get back to mainland. I don't know.
Yeah. No, they were the one was the bridge to nowhere, which would have gone, well, I can't remember the name of the water, but it was in between Ketchikan and Ravina Island. Ravina Island is where the airport is for Ketchikan. So when you fly into Ketchikan, you got to take a ferry across the body of water back and forth.
Ketchikan.
And the airport is about the only thing that's over there on the island, because nobody can get there. You know, got to take that ferry back and forth. And the ferry only holds maybe up to 6 cars at a time. So, you know, that's a bottleneck and stuff. And they wanted to build a bridge over there to that island. And then actually the island at that point had a lot of land, you know, usable land that Ketchikan could have expanded on, you know. Because there's no usable land really left in Ketchikan to build any houses or anything like that. But because there was nothing over on the island other than the airport, it was a bridge to nowhere. Well, the thing about it is every bridge that's ever been built is a bridge to nowhere. Because you can't get anywhere if you don't have the bridge, you know?
Yeah, and the nowhere can't become somewhere if you don't have a bridge to get to nowhere to develop it into somewhere.
Yep.
You ain't even been there a year. What made you want to move to Alaska?
No, Alaska's been my home for over 50 years. I was out of the state for a year last year in my motorhome. And I wasn't planning on being gone that long myself.
Yeah, but didn't you still maintain legal residency in Alaska? Just because you were on a motor trip don't mean you lost your residency.
No, but it disqualifies you from the permanent fund. The only thing that can keep you up for the permanent fund is if you're in the military. You know, and then you get stationed somewhere else, but Alaska's your resident, and you're gone from the state of Alaska, not by your own choice, you know?
Yeah. It's that devil's in the details, or however they say it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... We had a big fight over that permanent dividend fund because when it was originally proposed and stuff, everybody that had been here in the state would, I can't remember whether it was $50 or $100 you would get per year on the length of your residency, you know. And some fuckers fought it and won in court that that's not fair, you know.
What?
Makes you wonder if they are going to do that in all the other states, because there's plenty of states that have oil going on. I don't know how many exactly, but other than just Alaska.
Well... Ours came about because we got so much money from the oil and stuff that they couldn't spend it all. Okay? So they had to do something with that money that we were collecting.
We were collecting. Who's we? The citizens?
The state. Well, no, the state of Alaska.
But they have they have contracts with these oil companies. They have contracts with these oil companies that they get a certain percentage of all the drilling royalties.
The royalties.
So do the contractors...
The one thing up here in Alaska... Unlike in other states, okay? Now, there's a lot of rich people in Texas, ranchers and shit like that, because they discovered oil on their ranches. And the ranchers got royalty off of the oil that was produced on their land.
Yep. Or under
up
their
here,
land.
Up here. Huh?
Said, or under their land. I've got a little bit of a benefit from that because the mineral rights are different than the surface level rights.
Yeah, well, the thing is that nobody in Alaska owns subsurface rights other than the state. So, like, if you're gonna open up a gravel pit and stuff like that for construction or whatever, just regular fucking gravel pit, you have to pay royalties to the state.
I think that's the way it works in these other oil areas, the other states in the 48 contiguous. But I'm not sure where the royalties. I think they just pay some kind of permit fee to have access to use the land or the subsurface land, you know, the mineral rights by some special privilege permit.
The mineral rights are different from state to state.
mean as far as the rate percentage and the permit fees and all that?
No, whether or not the person who owns the land has mineral rights underneath the land.
The federal government can override that and go, we want that shit anyway, state. Fuck you. You know,
well,
here come our, you know.
I know, depending
on
the
state you're
in. When
it comes to eminent domain, the federal government just, like, you know, you think your states have rights? You know, no. They'll fucking plow over you. Thank you, President Lincoln.
Well,
yeah, well,
here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing up here. The state has the mineral rights and collective royalties on state lands. If it's on federal lands, the federal government gets them instead of the state.
No, but the thing is the federal government can say, you know what, I know these are state lands, but we're going to confiscate them for eminent domain, and we will pay you reasonable market value for it. That's what I mean. That's the unconstitutionality of it. It's allowed. The federal government can override the state. The state can say, no, federal government, we don't want you to have this land.
Well,
the federal government can say, fuck you, we're going to take it anyway.
Wait a minute. Huh. The state will sue the federal government and win.
And all the oil companies
will
join the...
They will absolutely, positively, without a doubt, win that case. Because of our state compact. The reasons why nobody up here owns mineral rights under the land was because when we became a state, with the state compacted stuff, the state of Alaska had to have a source of revenue to be able to become a state and operate as a state. Well, the only source of revenue we had was in our natural resources. Why the state has all subsurface mineral rights. And that was negotiated with the federal government, and the federal government demanded that be in there, that the state owns all the mineral rights so the state could afford to operate as a state. Because with our population up here, okay, the state could not operate. Even with taxes, we could not operate as a state. Because there's no revenue.
Oh, there is revenue. You just aren't seeing it. Like primetime revenue for the product.
Lorianne.
But
Lorianne.
Pay the people pennies for producing it.
Lori, we have no source of income other than the state mineral rights. We do not. We sell raw minerals, raw oil. Out of this state. We do not sell finished products out of this state. We do not sell gasoline.
Good point.
We do not
Good
sell
point.
Natural
yeah.
We do not sell processed natural gas. We do not sell anything. All it is raw material.
Well, that's what you sell. Like, here's the raw product. You know, but you don't refine it. That's the problem with America
right now. Yeah, it's not.
Like, we can tap into these resources, but we don't have the manufacturing capability to refine the oil, to refine the gas, to refine the, you know, everything else that needs to be made from it. We're not a manufacturing country anymore.
When
America was at its peak, we were in the industrial age. We were manufacturing everything under the fucking sun. And that's how we prospered.
That's why the Keystone XL pipeline and stuff was trying to get all the way to our refineries in the Gulf Coast.
The Keystone XL pipeline.
We have a couple of really nice refineries that you can't beat around the world.
And the Keystone XL pipeline, you know why it's called XL?
No.
It's the second pipe. The Keystone pipeline is already in the ground and operating and has been for years. And when the oil boom again happened in Canada, they didn't have the capacity in that one pipeline to get all the oil to the refinery. Hence, they wanted to build a second pipe down to those refineries to be able to handle all of the oil that Canada has. Now, two people are benefiting from having the oil pipeline stopped. One is Warren Buffett. He is making a ton of fucking money because the oil that's coming is coming over his trains to the refineries, okay? And the trains can only carry maybe 20% of that oil. The other 80% of that oil, Canada is shipping to China because they can't ship it down to the refineries. So, Joe stopped the XL pipeline so his buddies in China could have all of that fucking oil.
Yeah.
And all of that fucking oil from the oil fields, and all of that oil, all that oil, all that oil, all that oil.
I'm the host of this show. Hold it. I am the host of the show. I am going to say that Biden is starting to replenish the strategic oil reserves at a cap of no more than $75 or 75 whatever a barrel, which is actually
Do you know how much oil is going to be replaced?
President, he paid $24 a barrel for replenishing our strategic oil supplies.
After
depleting it at least 74, per barrel, three times as much.
That's a fucking fraud.
Yeah, that is a fucking fraud.
Hey, do you know how much oil he's going to put in the oil reserve? He's going to replenish it with 75,000, I believe. No, 7.5 million barrels of oil is what he's going to put into the strategic oil reserve. Do you know how much oil?
Yeah, he's only going to replenish it over the next four years. On a small percentage. It's only piece by piece by piece at this higher fucking dollar amount. And I thought the Democrats were supposed to be the anti-oil people.
Listen. He's going to put in 7.5 million barrels of oil back into strategic reserve. Do you realize that the United States uses about, what was the number, 12, to 30 million barrels of oil per day. He is putting back into the strategic oil reserve enough oil for about one half a day to keep this country running. That's all he's putting in there.
I know, right? I know. He depleted it. Like, Trump filled the shit up when it was cheap. And Biden siphoned it all. And it barely made a fraction of an impact at the pump at the time. And we all knew it. I mean, Biden has been systematically weakening the United States. If we need that strategic oil reserve, that's an order to, guess what? If we need to ship stuff to our troops that are overseas, it needs to be shipped from here, you know? That creates problems if we don't have enough fucking fuel to ship shit to our own military. You know what I mean?
Very
and
good point.
And disrupts the whole goddamn thing.
Well, that is, okay, that is a deliberate act.
It's treasonous.
That Biden has done.
And you know what?
That was deliberately
That was not implied that Biden should be hanged for treason for this, and now he's under scrutiny. Go figure.
Biden did not release the oil reserve to prevent us from paying $8 a gallon for gasoline. He did it to weaken the country. Take our strategic oil reserve so we don't have any fuel for our military.
Or domestically. Because guess what? You know what? If there is a fuel shortage, it's not just federal troops. It's these state militias. State National Guard. If they can't get fucking gas and fuel, what good are they? It undermines everything. That's the goal. That's what we're looking at. They're going to undermine everything. No meat, no gas stoves, no nothing. Environmental, you know, like this is fucking Klaus Schwab. This is cabal. This is control. 2024 is going to be like, what the fuck levels of control? I posted on my Twitter, I reposted this video of a chick in China who just lit off a sparkler. There's one of those little sparklers. And a fucking drone, a Chinese government drone flies up. This is her a verbal warning. She's going to be issued a ticket for violating the fucking fire ordinance because of a goddamn sparkler. This is what's coming to America if we don't stop it.
Hey, Lori Ann, next it'll be for smoking a cigarette or a doobie.
Right. And
oh,
guys,
yeah.
Think about this. The big...
I'm out in my house. I smoke
a
fucking bowl out on my own patio. Better arrest me. Fucking A.
Guys, what was the big thing about, the big question was, why didn't we shoot down the fucking spy balloon sooner, right? Over Montana, even over fucking Alaska, right? Because one, they didn't want to, but again, if there's
at
no
the
fuel.
Time, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. At the time, I was saying if our federal government isn't going to shoot the goddamn thing down, why doesn't the state of Montana have the right to go, okay, Montana State Guard, I want you to shoot this down. The federal government is failing.
Right.
State, right.
My point was the federal government fails.
The state should be able to have the right to shoot the motherfucker down. And you know what? There was a lot of support at the time in Montana for shooting that motherfucker down. And they were squashed by the Biden administration. Like, hell no. All hell will rot upon you if you shoot that fucking Chinese balloon down. We fucking wanted to cross the whole goddamn country. You know, Biden wanted Chinese spy balloons to fucking transverse the whole goddamn country on purpose. If that's not goddamn treason, I don't know what is. That's treason.
That's a good point, Lorianne, but that wasn't the point I was aiming for. We were talking about the fuel, you know, and replacing the fuel. And what happens if, you know, we don't have the fuel to get the planes in the air to
get the fuel
on the balloon?
Fucking three times the cost as when Trump did it.
Yep. You know, so, I mean, we don't have the fuel to get the planes in the air to shoot down the goddamn balloon, you know? You know, so think about it. I mean, this is, we're talking about wanting to go in there. Some people are saying with the border crisis and all this fentanyl that's coming across the border, declare war on these terrorist groups, go after them and bomb the cartels, right? Well, if we don't have fuel for the planes, how are we going to go over there and bomb the cartels? That's how big this whole fuel thing is, this strategic preserve is. And think about this also.
Well, there's also a problem with the fact that, like, it's like the whole goddamn world relies on America to be, like, the savior for everything. You know, we pay money out in foreign aid to all kinds of fucking countries everywhere, and we have for decades. Who's paying us? There ain't nobody paying us. What countries are actually paying us? We are supplying you with weapons and first aid and food and aid and all this shit. We supply you with all this shit. Who the fuck is paying us? Nobody is paying us.
Mm-hmm.
Paying us for our help. They all want our help. You know, when everything they supported in their government goes and kills their whole goddamn family and they're living off of, you know, bacterial infested waters, then they want our help. It's like, we would like to help you, but, you know, every step of the way you show how much you hate us at the same time.
And here's the deal. All this foreign aid that's going to these countries, what the fuck happened when Trump wanted them to stop the flow of these illegals, right? And what did he do? He said, okay, how much money are we giving to Mexico, all these other countries, you know? He said, well, let's cut the money off and see what happens. And lo and behold, the flow of the frickin' illegals stopped.
You gotta go further back than fucking Trump. You gotta go to Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Paul doesn't want to build walls. You build walls, you keep people from getting out as much as you keep them from getting in, right? So Ron Paul was like, don't give them the incentive. And that's a simple solution. Like, okay, you want to cross the border? Well, you're not going to be given housing. You're not going to be given a cell phone. You're not going to be given clothing. You're not going to be, you know, given all this shit, you know, that nobody else can afford. You take away the ability for Congress to allocate that money and you make that illegal. Like, no, you cannot devote all this fucking money to supporting illegal people coming in and spending that money. You cut off the fucking funding everywhere in your state. You cut off the funding. If New York, you New York voters, you don't want to fucking pay for it, vote against it. There won't be funding for it. Chicago, same thing. Minneapolis, same thing. Dallas, everywhere. You know, if you start fucking going, no, we don't approve of funding all of these illegal immigrants, you know, guess what? You know, it's away the incentive. That's what Ron Paul said 30 fucking years ago. Don't make a welfare state that it's like hanging a goddamn carrot for people to cross over illegally. You take away all the goddamn benefits, and guess what? They're not going to want to cross here illegally. They're going to want to go the legal route, because if they cross here illegally, they're going to be deported along with their kids and everybody else.
Here's
like, we're not going to fuck around.
Here's the other thing that's happened, though, with this Lorianne. They're building cities for these illegal aliens. Cities now, communities, where you can stick them, and they don't have to learn English, and they don't have to assimilate, and all that shit. But they're building communities for them. And how much money is it taking them to build the fucking communities for these people? You know? So
who do you think is funding that? China.
Yeah.
Seven
supplies,
minutes remaining
like
in the show.
It might be an American company that's
7 minutes remaining in the show.
But it is a Chinese, you know, acquired, like, we'll supply you with our cheap fucking labor and our cheap materials, you know. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? It's like if you're going to build
cheap materials,
and the cheapest you can get is Chinese manufactured.
By the way, 6.5 minutes left in the show, but that's my thing. If you want to really send a message to these people.
Oh, shit. Mike, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're right. 6 minutes left. And it is going to be 2024 here in a few minutes for me. Holy
right.
God.
But here's the deal. If you really want to send a message, which which I would like to send a message to these people. You go in there to these communities. There's a specific one in Texas that is basically a community of illegals. That's a cartel community. You go in there, you arrest these people, and you wipe that community from the face of the map. You destroy the houses, you raise it to the ground after you arrest these guys and send them back. Now, I know that's not going to happen. That wouldn't probably happen under Obama. Oh, I keep saying Obama, but it is Obama, but under Biden. But if Trump is smart, that's what he'd do. Go in there, go into that little community in Texas. I forgot the fucking name of the community.
When it comes to Trump, here's what I got to say. Trump better be smarter than he ever has been. He needs to have his lie detector and fraud detector on. He needs to recognize his
thoroughly supportive of him. And the people that are going to pretend to be, that's what he did last time. You know, don't fall into the bullshit. And I want to say it is 4 minutes now here on the West Coast. We are going to be counting down. I'm going to interrupt, and I'm going to say there is less than 4 minutes. There is 3 minutes, 42 seconds here on the West Coast, Portland, Oregon, Salem, Oregon, you know, whatever.
The other
Boyd
hey,
has an hour. He's going to be the last, but the countdown is coming soon, and the live broadcast is going to end in 3 minutes. So, if you're out there and you're listening, call in right now to go into the bonus hour, however long it lasts. BTR might object. But 563-999-3698. Press number 1. I'll bring you on. We got 2 minutes and 50 seconds of the live broadcast. The last broadcast of 2023, my time, Pacific time, and I'm going to be counting out the new year here, okay?
Hey, get your Cool in the Gang celebration ready.
Celebrate it. I hope 2024 is better. I really do, but I'm pessimistic, I got to say. 2023 has sucked. In order for me to get a job, I have to try to understand AI because human beings will not see my resume and application. It is an AI that I have to try to get past to get a job to fucking live. And I don't really look forward to that. So anyway, if you want to go into us, into the next bonus hour, 1 minute, 35 seconds left, 563-999-3698. Call in now if you're out there listening. The bonus hour is part of the recording, but you won't be able to listen. You'll have delayed ratification until tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Montana Joe, where you at? Donnie C, where you at?
I know.
Cinnamon,
Montana
where you at?
Joe did not call in all night. I'm
Master
calling
Pete
him
Yonke,
out.
Where you
Montana
at?
Montana Joe said he would try to call in. If he called in and I was playing a long clip or something, he would hang up. And I said, okay, I won't play a long clip.
Gunslinger's still with us, ain't he?
And he didn't call in all fucking night. Montana Joe, you know, what's your deal? He's going to have to explain himself.
He was probably thinking that Blog Talk Radio wasn't working.
No, I texted him. I said, my show is live now. I got it working. You know, Montana Joe cannot plead ignorance on any scale at all. He did not call in tonight. He is going to have to explain himself. Montana Joe. He criticized me, and because remember, he wanted me to let him know when your show got live, but remember,
hey,
like, you had to reschedule it and bullshit.
Hey,
yep.
Well,
anyway.
Count us down.
Uh-oh. It's 12 a.m. my time. It is officially 2024.
Happy
here I
New
go.
Year.
Hold on.
Happy New Year.
I am gonna play
Happy
some
New
hits.
Year.
different view on the role of government. At least we get to ask the question. It only comes rarely in history. I think the founders of the country, our founding fathers and forefathers, certainly asked the question, or they wouldn't have done what they did. They said, well, is the proper role of government what the British thinks is the proper role of government? And they came down and they said, no, they didn't like the British. So they said, we will declare our independence and we will be willing to fight for it. And they did it, and they wrote a guideline for us called the Constitution, a relatively good document, but something that is totally unobserved, I believe, in this century, especially here in the last several decades, and has gotten lots worse. This means it has to be done through persuasion if you want changes. It cannot be done with coercion and violence. It means we have a free market system of money, but it means that we define very clearly whose life it really is. It is our life. Our life comes to us in a very natural way. It doesn't come to us from government. Since it is our life, it's our liberty, and it's also our obligation to take care of our lives and our liberty. And we should have the right and the obligation, and we should have the obligation to work. But we ought to have the right to keep what we want. Nobody has a right to take from us. Your neighbor can't take it from us through coercion, but they should not have the right to go to their politician and have the politician send the IRS agent to your doorstep with a gun and point it to you and take what they think that is theirs. Needs are not rights. Entitlements, people who think they're entitled to something because they demand something and they've been told that the society owes it to them, those aren't rights. So we reject that entire notion that people who need something. Yes, we can be sympathetic if we want to, but they cannot use any coercion to come and take it from us. So in this situation, of course, it means we don't even believe in the income tax. I mean, that's...
All right.
Most of our history, we did not have an income tax. A lot of people say, oh, well, first reaction from a liberal reporter will be, well, who's going to take care of the government? I said, well, libertarians aren't really worried about the government. We're worried about the people. So therefore, we want you to keep your freedom, and we want to keep the fruits of your labor, and we want you to have the incentive. Because today, there's less incentive than there used to be, a lot less incentive to work and keep all the records and send them off to the government. So there's a more incentive to get in the underground economy. Over a third of the people in this country are involved in the underground economy. Now that's a mixed bag. I hate to see the breakdown of law and order, but you know what I need to see is I need to see Reagan get off the hook. Just think, the underground economy is probably bailing out this system. It's really very beneficial to the economy because it's the real economy. And the other thing that we have to think about, those who are fully in the underground economy are fully employed, too. There's no unemployment in the underground economy, and we'd like to legalize it. We'd like to make sure this is available to everybody, and since we existed most of our history without it, and there are still some states that have neither sales taxes or income taxes, and their unemployment rate is lower than the states that have high income tax and high sales taxes. So there's every reason, for practical reasons as well, to argue that we don't need it. Under this system of government, money would be different. Money would not be fraud. Today, if government has some limited roles, which they would in a libertarian society, it would mean that if one individual defrauded somebody else, this would be a reason for government to intervene. Therefore, if there was a private money system and they said this is a gold certificate and you didn't have the gold, then you were then lying and you were fraudulent, so this would involve the government to come in and settle the dispute. But what have we done under our system of government? What we have done is we now have permitted the politicians to become the legalized counterfeiters. So it's turned upside down. Instead of preventing counterfeiting, they become the counterfeiters. And how do they get elected and stay in office? By promising the people whatever they want. And the lobbyists grow in numbers. The PACs are growing. The PACs give money to both sides, which is only one party. And the process continues. The politicians vote for everything. They run up the deficits. They undermine the gold system. And, of course, that's what happened in 1971, total undermining of the gold system. And, therefore, they could print and create as much money as possible. And all you have to do is study the economic statistics since 1971, and everything is on an exponential curve. Deficits and spending and interest rates, the whole work is on a very, very dangerous slope, the way I see it. under a free market, you'd have honest money, which means it wouldn't be counterfeit, it wouldn't be paper, it would have to be a commodity, it'd have to be something of real value. We apply this principle of non-coercion to civil liberties, to social problems. It means if your life is your own, your lifestyle is your own. Nobody tells you what to do. You know, a lot of us in the media will immediately want to come up to me and they say, and they've done this to libertarians for a long time, and they'll say, and they'll want to put it on the headline. They're not doing it so much anymore because the debate is changing and we're winning this debate. And I think in a few years you're going to see some change in the law in spite of the rhetoric of the other two candidates. But they'll immediately want to say, ah, you're the people who want to legalize heroin. And that's the summation of the libertarian philosophy. I stop them right there. I said, no, I said, slow on my agenda about worrying about legalization of drugs, but what I'm interested in is legalizing freedom of choice. That's what it's like. I personally am not all that interested in drugs, but I'm very interested in freedom of choice. Because the freedom of choice for people to pick their lifestyles and what they take into their bodies also protects my rights to live my life the way I want, even though it may be different from others. Freedom of choice means that we protect your right for consumption. Intellectual consumption in this country is not too bad about that, even though there's challenges there in the public school system. There's always challenging. There's challenges on the books that are available, and I think there's going to be more censorship as time goes on. But basically, nobody challenged the idea that we're allowed to read books. Intellectually, our consumption is permitted. Religious-wise, people have the right to follow cults, be very serious religious people, atheists. These are things that we have accepted. And yet, when they come to this very, very narrow area of one particular drug, they say, we're going to make the people better. And, of course, historically, we only started doing these things in this century when we have lost the confidence in ourselves, lost the confidence that we can be secure in knowing that free choices are something that we can live with. 1913, we had income tax because we were introducing the idea of big government overseas and here at home. We introduced the idea of the central bank, which is a tenet of the Communist Manifesto. So we had our Federal Reserve System in 1913, drug laws in 1914. What else came about during the Wilson era? The FBI. To check on us, to find out what we're doing. Do you know one of the first tasks of the FBI was to spy on American citizens who disagreed with Woodrow Wilson on going to war in Europe? I think they did that in 1960s. And wasn't it just recently that our great American president, Ronald Reagan, who wanted to get government off our back, used the FBI to spy on 100 American groups because they disagreed with his policy in Central America? And just recently, of course, it's been revealed, and it's very clear that the CIA has been very much involved in all that activity. And, of course, Ronald Reagan hides behind the flag and said, I would never break security. I'm not going to tell you really what went on. I'll tell you what libertarians would do. We don't think there's much use for the FBI. If there's use for intelligence, it can be done differently. And we certainly don't have any use for the Central Intelligence Agency, and we'd abolish it. The whole idea of protecting of civil liberties is something that I think we're coming dangerously close to losing. Because they can develop this hysteria over drugs. The drug issue is not the top issue. The drug laws in the Constitution is the top issue. But in the name of drug regulation, they introduced the ideas of controls on us financially, keeping more record. At the same time, what they do is they want to tell us what to do with our lives. They come in and they throw out the Constitution because there are no restraints now as far as search and seizure laws go. This bill that was just passed applies that if somebody has their house invaded because they're suspected of dealing in drugs, this evidence is admissible in court even though the police did it without a search warrant, as long as the policeman used procedures that he thought were compatible with constitutional restraint. That's pretty bad. And yet that's what we're getting. Not only is that applied to drugs, but it's written so that it applies to anything that the government wants from us.
So I played that clip from Ron Paul. And it's from 1988 to 1998, something like that. I'll have to look it up. But one of his classic things, he
talks about a lot of shit in that clip, doesn't he? And that shit's like decades old. He warned us. Ron Paul warned us of every fucking thing we are seeing right now. That clip that I played, how does that not sum it up? It was so predictive. So long ago. Tell me how that's not relevant today. You know, it's just like, and even more so, it's fucking like crazy. Ron Paul, I still say, is the president we should have had but never did. Hello?
People today really don't want to understand that he knew what was coming and they didn't.
Oh, I got other clips. Like, Ron Paul warned of all this shit, like, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Like,
yep.
He's like, this is, like, the fucking thing. You know? Why you ran in 2012? He's like, you know, this shit needs to be stopped. I could play even more.
Yep.
Well, I have a clip of him. It's long, though. I'm not going to play it tonight. I promise you. But if you look up on YouTube, Ron Paul Liberty Defined, and there's like an hour and a half long speech that he gives on what liberty really is. And you know what? The funny thing is, Maj Ture, Black Guns Matter, really sounds a lot like him, right? And a lot of critics of Maj Ture, like, they try to, you know, make him out to be some, like, fanatic or some shit, you know? But he actually is more libertarian-minded, and it's like, if you really want to consider yourself conservative, you got to really listen to... when Marjorie talked about what real conservatism is being a real conservative, and you know, and getting back to the core of what a conservative is, he did like this really excellent video on that. And it's like, you know what? You're fucking right. That's exactly what it means. And when you embrace that, it transcends color. It transcends class. It's like, you know, a true conservative is somebody that's like, you know, you start out with a blank, you know, slate, and you make of it what you are, what you, you know, do. And the weird thing is, you know, Maj Ture, I've had him on my show twice. I need to start, like, recruiting guests again. That's another kind of thing. But he makes a lot of good points. Like, he'll even stand up for people that you wouldn't think he would stand up for, but he's like, you know, well, from a First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, whatever amendment perspective, you know, he'll defend somebody that most of us would not. It's like, well, when you look at it from this perspective, and it reminds me of, like, Kyle Rittenhouse,
Yep.
You know, anybody that supported Kyle Rittenhouse, anybody that looked at the footage and everything and how he responded, I know I was one of them that was, like, ridiculed left and right for defending him. I mean, like, you know, threads and whatever, like, you know, he, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse did everything fucking right. There was almost nothing that that kid didn't go wrong. When it comes to being, you know, responsible and controlled over their weapon, there's a lot of cops that wouldn't be controlled over their weapon to the level that Kyle Rittenhouse was. But the liberals, they're like, oh, my God, you know, how dare you say such things? Pretty sure I got probably 24-hour or 3-day fucking ban on Facebook for saying that kind of shit, too. Kyle Rittenhouse did everything fucking right. Everything. He handled everything pretty much like, I don't think, it, you know, there are a lot of, like, people that are like, I am a tactical instructor that commented on Rittenhouse's response and are like, hey, shit, you know, that dude handled that situation like fucking 5-star, you know, for a kid. Especially. Ain't nobody gonna convince me that Kyle Rittenhouse was not superb. And the sucky thing is right now, like, he's like fucking bankrupt. You know what I mean? It's gonna take him a while.
He shouldn't
to
be.
He's fucking bankrupt. Kyle Rittenhouse is bankrupt.
Not what I heard. I thought he was worth a few million dollars now. Did they blow it?
Nope. Yeah. When I look last time, like, nope. Between all of the, because he's had civil suits and shit like that and attorney fees and everything, Kyle Rittenhouse is not a financially wealthy person right now. He's hurting. You gotta imagine, he's got lawsuits fucking up the asshole. And that's the thing, it's like, you're not even guilty of a criminal crime, right? So yeah, he's not guilty. He defended himself, blah, blah, blah. But all the families and everything, they sue. And judges say, yep, that's valid. And they can fucking bankrupt him anyway. And that's where he's at. Bankrupt him. Who's gonna, you know, I mean, I feel for the guy. I really do. He did the right thing. He defended himself. But if he wants to make a name for himself, that's done. He's gonna have to change his name and completely, like, the old Kyle Rittenhouse is dead, and I'm rebranding myself. That's what he's going to have to do.
Well, you know, anytime that you're involved in a self-defense shooting like that, you probably would have to. I would doubt. In fact, circumstances, I'm glad he did. Because of trash. He did society a favor. Somebody needs to give him a
good. Boy, your audio is choppy. and getting choppy, just like how Joe Gibson before every. Is everything gonna go to shit?
Gunn was the one that got
anybody
choppy.
Else out there?
Gunn was the one that started getting choppy.
Yeah, we couldn't understand Gunslinger. We could hear him, but we couldn't make out what he said.